Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin Daf Mem Hey. We are holding on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rav Anon. What is that? About 6-7 lines from the end of the page on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and the Zecher Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So we're in the middle of the sugya of what happens when you sell an Eved to Chutz La'aretz, and the particular Knas that was instituted that you have to then be meshachrer that Eved. So we're going to talk about what happens if you sell an Eved to Chutz La'aretz, or you sell a field during Yovel. So does the money get refunded? Meaning the guy that bought himself a lemon, essentially. He's not able to be meshabe that Eved. So does he get his money back that he paid for that Eved? Then the Gemara is going to discuss if an Eved runs away from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, can the master force him to come back and say, you work for me and you work in Chutz La'aretz? Or do we say, no, now that he's arrived in Eretz Yisrael, we can't force him back into Chutz La'aretz? Then the Mishnah, the first Mishnah on Amud Aleph, in the middle of the page, is going to talk about two other takanos that were made for the sake of tikkun ha'olam. One is to not overpay for a captive, and the Gemara has two possibilities of what the tikkun ha'olam is in not overpaying for a captive, and the second one is not helping a captive escape. And the Mishnah is going to have two possibilities as to why it's a problem to help a captive escape. I would think that that's a wonderful thing to do, to help a guy out, to help him escape from captivity. The Gemara is then going to tell us a highly unusual story about Rav Elish and the daughters of Rav Nachman when they were both held in captivity, and that's going to bring us pretty much to the Mishnah. The Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to give us another takana that was made for tikkun olam, and that is the takana not to overpay for sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzos that you buy from a nachri. That's going to lead us into a discussion as to the status of a sefer Torah that's written by a nachri, or a status of a sefer Torah that's written by a min, by an apikores. Then the Gemara is going to discuss we can pay a little bit extra for Stam. We just can't pay a lot extra for Stam. And that will bring us to the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis, which we probably will not get to today. So let's get right into it right now. So we are holding on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, about 6 lines from the end of the page. Amar Rav Anan. So says Mar Amar Rav Anan. Shamine Demar Shmuel Tarti. That I heard two piskei halacha about from Shmuel about paying back, whether you refund money for a purchase. Chada hach. One of them was the din of our Mishnah that if you sell your Eved to Chutz La'aretz, that he goes l'cheirus, and therefore the kinyan is going to be batel. The idach, and the other one was the itmar, was relating to that which was taught in the Beis Medrash, that a mocher sadeu b'shnas hayovel atzma, that if you sell your field during Yovel. Now we know if you sell your field before Yovel, that it goes back at Yovel, that it goes back to its ancestral owner at Yovel. But what if you sell the field during Yovel itself? So the field has to go back to the Bailam Arishonim, so it's a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, whether the Mechira was ever chal at all. Rav Amar Mechur of the Yotza, Rav says the sale was valid, but it goes back to the original owner, and the guy that bought it lost all his money. Shmuel Amar Ein Mechur Kalikr, and Shmuel says that the sale didn't happen at all. So it's a Kal V'chomer, if a field that was sold properly, Yovel's going to be Mafkia, the Mechira, and is going to return the field back to the original owner, Kol Shekein. It's going to stop the sale from being chal during Yovel itself. So there's another example of a mekach, of a sale, a purchase that's not miskayim, that doesn't last, and the money is therefore was paid really somewhat unrightfully. So says the Gemara, I heard two piskei halacha from Shmuel about these two cases, but b'chada hadrizvini, b'chada lo hadrizvini. In one of these cases, he paskened, you got to refund the money, and in the other case, he paskins, you don't have to refund the money. So again, one case was selling an Eved to Chutz La'aretz, and the other case involved not selling Eved to Chutz La'aretz, but selling a field during Shnas HaYovel, during the year of Yovel. So in one case, Hadrizvini, and in the other case, Lo Hadrizvini. So, V'lo Yatana Heminayim, but I didn't know in which case did he hold that the money should be refunded. Amr Rav Yosef Nechzi Anan. Rabbanan. So Rav Yosef says, let's try to be poshet this suffix of Rabbanan, miditani bebraisa, from what it's taught in a braisa. Hamocher abdul chutzlaritz yatzel cheirus. If a person sells his eved chutzlaritz, the eved goes free, and the guy who bought him is not allowed to use that eved in slavery, v'tzorich get shichur mirabu sheni, and the guy who bought him has to write him a get shichur. Wait a second, why does the guy who bought him have to write him a get shichur, and not the guy who sold him after writing a shichur? Ooh, shmamina, kanya rabu sheni. It must be that the guy who bought him is the rightful owner, and that's why he's the one that has to write him a get shichur. If he's the rightful owner, that tells you v'lo hadrizvini, that the money doesn't get returned. Meaning, if the money got returned, then it would just be a bitul mekach. It would be like he never bought the guy. The first owner is the real owner, and he should be the one to write the get shichur. So from the fact that it's the second owner, it's the purchaser who's writing the get shichur, that tells you that there was a sale. The Chiyomer Shmuel Hassam, when Shmuel said that if you buy a field during Yovel, that the field is not sold, eina mechura uma uschozrin. In that case, it's not a sale at all, and the money goes back. So this the Rav Anan started by saying, I know that Shmuel commented about two sales that are both going to be worthless, one about selling an eved chutz laaretz and one about selling a field during Yovel, but in one of those cases Shmuel paskind that the money gets returned, in the other case Shmuel paskind the money does not get returned. And now we were able to figure out which was which, that in selling an eved chutz laaretz the money does not get returned, and that's why the guy who bought him is the rightful owner and he's the one that has to write a shtar shechur. In selling a field during Yovel, the money does get returned and it's as if the sale never happened. So says the Gemara of Rav Anna, why didn't Rav Anan realize this? Why couldn't he answer that this was, that Shmuel's two psukim, which one fell on which case? Because Brisa lo shmiele, he was unaware of this Brisa. V'imi de Shmuel, and if you want to be poshet the suffek from the fact that Shmuel disagrees with Rav, Rav said that if you sell a field during Yovel, that it's sold and it goes back, and Shmuel said it's eina mechura kol ikar, so doesn't eina mechura kol ikar mean that you return the money? No, mimai de eina mechura. Just because it's Eina Mechura Kalikr, that the field is not viewed as having been sold, it doesn't necessarily mean that the money goes back. So from the words of Shmuel himself, we would not have been able to tell whether the money goes back or not. It's only from the Braisa that clarifies the Inyan, that when you sell a field, the money taka goes back, and when you sell the Evet to Chutzlaritz, the money does not go back. But from the words of Shmuel itself, we would not have known that. From the words of Shmuel of Eina Mechura, one might have assumed it means that the sale is not binding, but the money stays where it is, and it's viewed as money of a matana. So why would we ever assume that? The guy is just randomly giving a monetary gift to the other party that he was trying to make a transaction with? Well, we have that. Needed to have a Mekadish HaSachoso. Very similar to what the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about. If a person gives Kesef Kiddushin to his own sister, Deitmar Mekadish HaSachoso, Rabba Mermos Chosun, Shmuel Mermos Matana. For sure they're not married, right? Kiddushin is not toface on one's own sister. So what about that Kesef Kiddushin? What happens to the money? So Rav says it goes back because he was trying to do Kiddushin. Kiddushin is not going to work, so the money goes back. And Shmuel says, no, it's a Matana. He's giving it as a matana. So that's the idea of the that one might have assumed is the same thing happening when one sells a field during Yovel, that the kesef becomes a matana. So that's why we need the braisa to tell us that that's not true, that the kesef goes back. So says the Gemara, Amrle Abayi l'Rav Yosef. Abayi said to Rav Yosef, my chazus to kansin lokeach nikvase the mocher. Wait, Rav Yosef, you told us just now that if a person sells an eved to chutz la'aretz, the eved goes free, and the money does not get returned. The guy who sold him into chutz la'aretz does not have to give a refund on the money. Now think about that. The guy bought an eved. He paid good money for that eved. He didn't get to use him for a single day. He has to be meshachar the eved. The rabbi made a din. He has to be meshachar the eved. Why should he lose all his money? Why should it be the lokeach that loses the money? The mocha should be the one to lose the money. He's the one that sold him into chutz la'aretz. So Amalei, so Rav Yosef said back to Abaye, Lav achbra ganav ela chora ganav. That sometimes you can't look at the person who committed the crime, you have to look at the person that enabled the crime to be committed. That it's true, the Aveira is selling an Eved Chutz Laretz. If there was no market to buy an Eved Chutz Laretz, a guy would never have sold an Eved Chutz Laretz. So the very fact that he was sold shows you that there was a market, and the person who creates that market, he should be the one that loses. He should be the one that's punished. Amalei, ilav achbra chora minal. Mele, but says Abaye back to Rav Yosef. But come on, I mean, granted, there's a market, but there's only a market because there are people that are willing to sell the Eved into Chutz Laaretz. So shouldn't the guy that did the crime be the one to get punished, or they should both get punished? Mistabra heichadikei isura hasam kansinan. It's more mistabra that we make the knas where the isur is. So right now, the Eved is by the lokeach, so he's the one that suffers that knas. The lokeach is the one that loses out. So now the Gemara brings a maisa about bringing an Eved outside of Eretz Yisrael back to Chutz Laaretz. Who have the da'arak mi Chutz Laaretz la'aretz? There was an Eved that ran away from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. Azam Maria Basre, so the master chased after him to Eretz Yisrael. Asal kameh de Rabbi Ami, and he came to Rabbi Ami, Amalei, and he said to him, Nichtav loch shtara adame, that the Eved should write a shtar that he owes you the value of himself, uksav l'giti t'cherusa, and you should write a shtar shichur to free him. V'ilo, and if you don't write a shtar shichur to free him, mafak nele minach, midrabi achib rabbi Yoshia, I'm going to anyway make him take him away from you, and I'm going to do that based on the drasha of Rabbi Achib rabbi Yoshia, which we'll see in a moment what that drasha is. But essentially, this Eved ran away from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. The master went to go retrieve him, and when he asked the shaila in Eretz Yisrael, he was told, you can't retrieve him. The best you could do is get reimbursed, is that the Eved will write you a shtar that he owes you what he's worth. But you need to write him a shtar shichur, and if you don't write him a shtar shichur, I'm going to paskin that you don't have any rights over this Eved based on the teaching of Rabbi Achi bar Rabbi Yoshia. Detanya. Lo yeshvar b'artzucha pen yachdiyu oschali, that the goyim from the seven umos that were in Eretz Yisrael before Klal Yisrael got there, so they should not be allowed to reside in Eretz Yisrael lest we learn from their terrible ways. So yachal b'vicham shekhi b'lov shalal av'lov oschama kaz medaber. We might think that the pasuk is talking about even goyim who have accepted upon themselves not to do avodah zara. Tavolomer lo saskei reved al adonav asher yinatzel eilecha me'im adonav. So we're mefarish the pasuk that an eved that is Nitzal me'adonav, meaning a guy that leaves his avodah zarah that he was previously worshipping in order to be able to live in Eretz Yisrael. And if you don't allow him to live in Eretz Yisrael, he's going to go right back to that avodah zarah. So my takanaso, what can we do to save him from going back to that avodah zarah? Imcha yeshev b'kirbucha, that he gets to live in Eretz Yisrael. V'kashal le Rabbi Yoshia, and Rabbi Yoshia was bothered by this praisa. Hai me'im adonav, me'im aviv mibayalei, that the Pasuk shouldn't have said me'im adonav, and avodah zarah is not adonav. It should have said me'im aviv, and therefore Rabbi Yoshia says I darshan differently. Ela amar Rabbi Yoshia, we don't explain the pasuk of lo saskir eved el adonav asher yinatzel lech me'im adonav to be talking about what we just said, but rather to be talking about the nachri who lives in Eretz Yisrael. No, we're talking about b'mocher avdo l'chutz l'aretz akasim medaber. The pasuk is talking about someone who sells his eved kanani from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, and the pasuk is telling the Beis Din that you better don't let him go to Chutz Laaretz. Instead, make the master free him. Let him go to Cheirus. V'kashle the Rabbi Achi b'Rabbi Yoshia. Here's the line that we were waiting for. Meaning, remember, in the story, Rabbi Ami said, "You better free the Eved, otherwise, I'm going to take him away from you." In line with what Rabbi Achi b'Rabbi Yoshia said. So now we're up to that Rabbi Achi b'Rabbi Yoshia. V'kashle the Rabbi Achi b'Rabbi Yoshia. He had a problem with his father's drasha, with Rabbi Yoshia's drasha. Hi, Asher Yinatzel Eilecha, the Eved that wants to, that's being sold into Chutz Laaretz, is the pasuk says Asher Yinatzel Eilecha. We want the Asher Yinatzel Meimcha Mibayalei. The pasuk should have said Asher Yinatzel Meimcha, and therefore Elam Rabbi Achim Rabbi Yoshia. A third interpretation of the pasuk. We're not talking about an Eved whose master sold into Chutz Laaretz, but rather be'Eved Shebarach Me. That we're talking about an Eved that ran from Chutz Laaretz and ran away from his master to Eretz Yisrael. So he's nitzal from his Adon in Chutz Laaretz by getting to Eretz Yisrael. And the Pasuk is telling the Beis Din that when such an Eved arrives, do not allow him to go back to the master. So that's why the Rabbi Ami was telling this master, listen, if you don't write him a Shtar Shichur, we're not letting him go back to you anyway. So take the deal that he's going to write a Shtar Chov, that he owes you his own value, and you'll write a Shtar Shichur in return. We have a Pasuk that tells us that we're not allowed to let this Eved go back into Avdus, where he's going to have to go back to Chutz Laaretz. So essentially we had this Braisa that quoted this Pasuk of... That quoted this pasuk of Lo Yeshu Vatzchav Ben Yaftiros Ali, etc. That and we had three inter or Lo Saskir Eved Al Adonav, and we had three inter. That's the pasuk. Lo Saskir Eved Al Adonav Shein Natzalach Miyam Adonav, and we had three interpretations of the pasuk. First interpretation of the pasuk was we were talking about one of the members of the seven nations that inhabited Eretz Yisrael. Second interpretation of the pasuk is that we were talking about an eved that was sold into Chutz La'aretz. And third interpretation, that of Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yosha, is we're talking about an eved that ran away from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. And the pasuk is telling you that we cannot let such an eved go back to Chutz La'aretz into Avdus. Once we bring the machlokes to Noam, how to explain that pasuk of Losaskir Eved El Adonav, the Gemara brings another drasha on the same pasuk. Tanya Idach, we have another brisa, Losaskir Eved El Adonav, Rebbe Omer, Belokeach Eved Al Menas V'Shachra Akos Medaber. The pasuk is addressing a person who buys an eved from someone else with the condition that he's going to be Meshachar him. And Beis Din tells him that we force him that you're not allowed to be Meshavit such an eved. Say, Echidami, what type of case are we talking about? That you're not allowed to be Meshavit your own eved that you bought? So Rav Nachum Yitzchak, the Kasav Lehachi, you wrote to the eved that Likisha Ekhacha, when I purchase you, Hare Atzmacha Kani Lechame Achshav, you will now be the owner of yourself. You will take rights over your own life back, Me'achshav, going back to right now. So as soon as this master bought this eved, he's not even allowed to be meshabid him for a moment, because he had guaranteed him in advance that when I purchase you, you will be your own boss. You will be in your own control. This is the Gemara in Yevamos brings a raya from here that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Meir, that you can be makna davar shalom b'liolam. That's what Rashi points out, because he was maknit him before he ever purchased him, and he says when I purchase you, then you're going to be able to go back. So you see that you can be makna davar shalom b'liolam. So now the Gemara brings another maysa of an eved that ran away. Rav Chista arikle avdol bekutai. Rav Chista's eved ran away to the kutim. So shalach lehu, Rav Chista sent to the kutim that Hadrua Neali, I would like my eved back, please. Sholchule, they sent back to him, Lo Saskir Eved El Adonav. I'm sorry, there's a pasuk that says you're not allowed to return an eved back to its original master. So Sholchlu, we'll keep the gear so that Sholchlu, he sent, Rav Chista sent back to them. Pasuk says, V'chein tasa l'chamaru, v'chein tasa l'simlos, v'chein tasa l'chalavetas achicha, that there's a mitzvah called Hashavas Aveda, so you have to return it. Sholchule, the kutim sent back, V'aksiv, Lo Saskir Eved El Adonav. I know there's a mitzvah of but apparently there's an exception to that mitzvah, and that is an eved, because there's a pasuk that says you don't return an eved. So Shalchlu, Rav Chista responded, Hahu, that pasuk is not talking about an eved that runs away from his master in Chutz La'aretz to another place in Chutz La'aretz. That's Be'eved Shabarach Mi'chutz La'aretz La'aretz Ked Rabbi Achiv Rabbi Yoshia. That pasuk about not returning an eved is only if the eved ran from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, so you don't push him back into Chutz La'aretz. But if an eved ran from one place in Chutz La'aretz to another place in Chutz La'aretz, of course you have to return him. You have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Umayshna deshalach lehu b'kid Rabbi Yachib Rabbi Yoshia. Why is it that Rav Chista said like Rabbi Yachib Rabbi Yoshia, not like Rebbe? So mishum demashmalu krai, because the kutim would the simple reading of the pasuk would resonate more according to the way Rabbi Yachib Rabbi Yoshia read the pasuk, and therefore the kutim would buy into it. They'd be much more likely to buy into that reading of the pasuk, because they only trust that which is mefurish in a pasuk. Now the Gemara brings another maysa about an aveda that kutim got their hands on. Abaye irkas lechamra bekutai, but in this case it wasn't an eved, it was a chamor. Abaye lost a donkey and kutim found it. So shalchut shadruli. Abaye sent a message to the kutim, please return my donkey. Shalchulei, they sent back. Shalach simana, do you have a simin? How do I know it's yours? So shalchu, Abaye sent back the chivr kresei. He's got a white belly. That's how I know. That's a simin that it's my donkey. So shalach lu, the kutim sent back, ilav dinachmani at lov mishtarna leinaloch. If not for the fact that you are a known, honest person, you are a baye, everyone knows that you're a chassid, everyone knows that you are never mishaker, that you're the most honest person, and that's how we know we can trust that it's actually yours. But if not for that, we would never return a donkey with such a simin, that because it has a white belly. Atu kuli chamri lav kreisik chivreinenu. Why, you think every donkey doesn't have a white belly? Half the donkeys in in the world have a white belly. So that's not a siman muvak. That's a siman she'eno muvak. And normally we would not return based on a siman she'eno muvak. But because you're Abaye and we know that you're very honest, we know that it really must be yours. Okay, now a new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to do pidyon shvuyim with more than the person is worth. You're not allowed to overpay for pidyon shvuyim mipnei tikkun ha'olam, because that is a tikkun ha'olam. Takana, the Gemara is going to discuss what the tikkun ha'olam is in overpaying for pidyon shvuyim. Second thing, ve'in mavrich nesu shvuyim mipnei tikkun ha'olam, you do not help a captive escape, also based on Tikkun HaOlam. Now, obviously, a captive himself is allowed to escape. Maybe it's not so obvious, but the Chavos Yahrir writes in the Tshuva, Siman Reish Gimel, there's no Isser for a captive to escape himself, but you're not allowed to aid another captive's escape because of Tikkun HaOlam. What's the concern? That the Shvuyim, the captors, are going to start mistreating their captives, and they'll tie them tighter in chains and hold them down, and it's going to make life much more difficult for everybody else that's held captive, because they're going to see that there's a flight risk. That the reason is that we're afraid that the other people who are left in captivity are going to be mistreated once one person escapes. And the Rosh Hash explains they're going to be punished because they're going to the captors are going to say there's no way this guy escaped and he didn't share his plans with you. Obviously, if he was escaping, he was plotting the escape for a while. You knew something about this. You smelled something was up, and you didn't tell us anything about it. And therefore, they're going to mistreat the remaining captives. So the nafkamina between the two opinions as to whether it's that future captives are going to be mistreated, or whether it's that the people who are held in captivity with him are going to be mistreated because they didn't reveal that what this guy's plans were. Nafkamina would be, what if he was held in captivity alone? If he's held in captivity alone, are you allowed to help him escape? If the concern is about future captives, that they're going to be very mean to future captives, even if this guy was held in captivity alone, you'd have to be concerned about that. But if the concern is that the other guys that were with him in captivity should have told, and because they didn't tell, they're going to get in trouble. Well, if there's no one else in captivity with him, so that's the Gemara is going to go through all that. So anyway, you buy. They raised the following shaila. This idea that you're not allowed to overpay for pidyon shvuyim because of tikkun ha'olam. What kind of tikkun ha'olam is that? Is it because of the overwhelming expense that it's going to be too much for the tzibur to pay? Such an overwhelming expense? Or is it simply that we don't want people to get in the business of taking captives? If it becomes too lucrative a profession because they know that they'll always get Jews to overpay for their captives. So then, this is always, unfortunately, this is a shayla halacha lemaisa that the Israeli government has to deal with sometimes when lo aleinu, chayal is taken into captivity and they try to negotiate a release. There's always a big debate in the rabbanim, you know, among the poskim. Not necessarily that's how these things get decided anyway, but there's a debate as to what the proper way of doing things are. The svara might be that when you're a soldier, when you're a soldier, that in order to really put your life on the line, in order to really give it your all, a person has to know that his army is going to protect him, that his people, his country, is going to bring him back at all costs. That's the svara in the other direction. The simple reading of the Gemara would dictate that you don't overpay for a captive. It could also be that this Gemara is assuming that he's not going to die in captivity, which is not a safe assumption to make when people are being held by our enemies who are sworn to kill us, essentially. So that's another svara that comes into play, unfortunately, in those horrific situations. So says Mar Tashima, let's bring a raya. The Levi Bar Darga Parka Labarte Betleser Alfi Dinarizav. Levi Bar Darga redeemed his daughter from captivity with 13,000 dinari zahav. So you see that he overpaid for her. Why? Because he held the whole reason you're not allowed to overpay is that it's going to be too much of an expense on the tzibur. He's a personally, independently wealthy man. He paid it all out of his own pocket. pocket. It has nothing to do with the tzibur. It's his own money. But if the concern is that people are going to want to get into the taking captives business because they're going to see how lucrative it is, then even if it's from your own money, you shouldn't redeem a captive yoser mikadei demehen. So obviously, you see that he held it was all about the duchah de tzibur. Now, the nafkamina might be, what if the tzibur has plenty of money? You know, there are a lot of times in Jewish history where we didn't have anything. We had very little in terms of assets. And there are other times in Jewish history where Jews had a lot of money. And, you know, we managed to waste our money on a lot of less important things than Pidyon Shvuyim. So maybe that would be enough, Kamina. So I'm Rabbi. But anyway, Rabbi says, it's not a Rayim. Who said he did this with the approval of the Chachamim? It was his daughter. So he went and he redeemed her. I don't know that he necessarily got permission from the Rabbanon to do that. Maybe the Rabbanon wouldn't be so happy about doing that. I think they say that when Rav Huttner was on that plane that was hijacked in 1972, I think it was, right? So the Iranian Talmid. So when Rav Huttner was on that plane, that there were Talmidim from Chaim Berlin who were very wealthy who wanted to pay whatever. They went to the State Department and they said, "We'll pay whatever it takes to get Rav Huttner back." You know, whatever. So there was a whole shaila in halacha whether they were allowed to say that. You're not allowed to be poda shavu yosem mikdei damav. It's going to cause more hijackings and more. Or do you say that someone who's a chacham muflag, that it's an exception to this rule? So I think they say that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said at the time that the whole discussion is only when it's shalom b'shas milchama. But b'shas milchama, you're not allowed to pay the enemy b'shas milchama because you're not allowed to do anything to be mechazik the war effort against Klal Yisrael. And since the founding of the State of Israel in 1948, it's always been b'shas milchama. It's sometimes there are breaks in the actual fighting, but it's always b'shas milchama. It's just those breaks are what our enemies called regrouping before they come and attack again, unfortunately. So that's all called Bishas Muhamma. I think it turned out not to be Shaykh anyway, because the State Department said, it's very nice that you want to pay for your rabbi, but we don't negotiate with terrorists. So that's not going to happen. But anyway, it was an interesting discussion. We do not help a captive escape because of Tikkun HaOlam. Rav Shmuel Miel says the reason we're not mavriach shvuyim is mipnei takana shvuyim, is to help out the shvuyim. So my binay, what's the nafkamina between the two deos in the Mishnah? So like we said, ikbinay delak el achad. What if the guy was only in captivity alone and there was no one else there with him? So if the concern is that his fellow captives are going to be mistreated because they didn't reveal that he was planning an escape when he has no fellow captives, there's no concern. But if the concern is that future captives are going to be mistreated, well, that's still a concern. Bin Seder of Nachman, the Gemara now tells a wild story. Bin Seder of Nachman, the daughters of Rav Nachman, Bachshon Kitu Biadaihu, they used to touch boiling hot pots with their bare hands, and their hands didn't burn. And anyone who saw that figured they must be such tzidkanios that they don't burn from fire. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them such a talent. So Kashalev Ravilish. Ravilish was wondering, how could that be? Ksiv Adam Echad Me'elef Matzasi V'isha B'chalele Lo Matzasi, that one in a thousand men is a tzaddik, but I've never seen a woman who's such a tzadkanis that she's not going to have that she'll have such open miracles done for her. So Ha'ika Bin Seder Rav Nachman, but how could that be true? I see the Bin Seder Rav Nachman, the daughters of Rav Nachman, are apparently on that level of tzidk that they have this open miracle done for them. The Rashash points out the obvious problem is that, I mean, it's only obvious if you know the Gemara, but the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Pei Zayin says that there was a story with the wife of Mar Ukva that when they used to give tzedakah b'seser, and when they were about to be caught as the ones who were giving the tzedakah, they ran away, and they ran into a fiery oven and where there were hot coals on the floor, and Mar Ukva's wife was standing barefoot on the hot coals and her feet were not burning. And Mar Ukva had to stand on her feet so that his feet didn't burn. So you see, mamish the same miracle, and it happened with a woman. So how could the Gemara say, why is Rav Nachman so troubled that a woman should never be zocha to such a miracle? We have an actual story in Shas where a woman was zocha to such a miracle. So it's a good kasha. But anyway, Garmelu Humilsa Vishtavion, not long after that, the daughters of Rav Nachman were taken taken into captivity. And Rav Elish was taken into captivity together with them. One time in captivity with them was a guy who knew the language of birds. He knew how to understand when birds spoke to each other. So a raven came and started calling out. So Rav Elish said to the guy who knew how to speak bird language, "My ka'amar, what's the raven saying?" Amalei, "Elish brach, Elish brach." It's saying, "Elish, run away, you have the chance to escape." So Amar Urva Shikru, he says, "Nah, a raven is a liar. Velosa michnalei, I will not rely on a raven." Adach, Yosi Yonav Kakarya. A short while later, a dove came and started chirping. So Amalei, he said to the guy that was with him, "My ka'amra, what is the dove saying?" So Amalei, the guy said, "Oh, he's saying, Elish brach, Elish brach, Elish, you could run away now, you'll get away." So Amar Knesset Yisrael ki Yonah Metila. Ooh, Klal Yisrael is compared to a Yonah. The mashal of Klal Yisrael is that of a Yonah. So Shema Minah Mesrach Shli Nisa. I won't listen to the raven, but I will happily listen to the Yonah. So it must be that if I run away now, there's going to be a miracle. I'm going to be saved, and therefore he was going to run away. So Amar Ezel Achsi Binsei Rav Nachman Ikaimen Biyum Nasayu Adrinu. And he said, "You know what? Let me go check on the daughters of Rav Nachman. If there's still tzidkanios, then I will help them come out." So Amar Rav Elish said, "Let me see if they're tzidkanios. How will I tell? Nashi kalmili disu sidron laadadi bibeis hakisei." Women tend to tell their deepest, darkest secrets and be totally open with each other when they're in the beis hakisei. So I'll put my ear up against the beis hakisei and I'll listen to what they're talking about in the beis hakisei. So shaminu deka amar, and hear them talking to each other, that adi guvrin v'nadoi guvrin, that these people who are holding us in captivity are men, and the our husbands back home are men. That maybe we should tell our captors that they better escape from, they better run away from this place, because we don't want our husbands to find us and to redeem us. We're very happy over here. We might as well stay in captivity. So come Arak. So Rabbi Elish ran away, and he did not take them with him because he saw that they did not remain in their previous level of tzidkus. Also, Iuva Hu Gavra, that he came together with somebody, with that guy who understood the language of birds. They both tried to escape. Rav Elish managed to escape, but the other guy who knew bird language was caught and killed. So Kiadron Va'asan, when the daughters of Rav Nachman eventually got out, Amar HaKabachshan Kidra B'Kshafim, Rav Elish says, "Now I see that the reason their hands didn't burn was because of Kishuf. It wasn't because they were such tzidkanios, because they were not such tzidkanios." We see that they were not faithful when they were held in captivity. Okay, so now a new Mishnah, another Tikkun HaOlam. Ve'in lokhan svarim tefillin mezuzos minav dechav miyosra al kadei demeir. You shouldn't overpay for sivritar tefillin mezuzos mipnei Tikkun HaOlam, because of Tikkun HaOlam, that it will make people poor, that they're going to overpay when they're buying from avdei kechavim, it's going to encourage the stealing sivritar tefillin and mezuzos business, because the guy will see that they can get so much money for it. Some of the Rabbi Ravashi, Rabbi said, Ravashi, that Yasral Kedei Demein Udein Lochin, Habikedei Demein Lochin. So apparently, you only don't buy from Lovin Chavim if you have to overpay for it. But if you pay the market price, you are allowed to buy from Lovin Chavim. Shema Minah Sefer Torah Shemitzu Biyad Lovin Chavim Korinbo. Oh, apparently, this tells me that if you have a Sefer Torah that's found Biyad Lovin Chavim, you could use it for Kriyas HaTorah, and you don't have to worry that the guy wrote the Sefer Torah. So says Marna Dilma Lignos. Maybe the fact that you could buy it from them is not to read from it, it's to put it into Geniza, that it shouldn't be Mutal Bibizayim. But maybe in a Chinami, you can't assume that a guy did not write the Torah. You have to be Choshesh that a guy maybe wrote that Torah, and therefore you cannot use it for Kriyas HaTorah. Amar Rav Nachman, Naktinon Sefer Torah Shekesavu Min Yisarev. If an Apikoros wrote a Sefer Torah, you have to burn it. Kesavu Ovid Chavim, if an Ovid Chavim wrote a Sefer Torah, Yiganez, then you put it in Geniza. Nimtza Biyad Min, if it's found in the hands of an Apikoros, Yiganez. But you don't know if the min wrote it or not. So misafek, you put it into Geniza, you don't burn it. That happens a lot of times when conservative shul or reform shul is shutting down, which happens a lot because those movements are shrinking and not growing. So there's a lot of contraction. So the shuls are closing down and they have Sifrei Torah. So a lot of times they'll offer that people could buy their Sifrei Torah. So the question is, what assumptions do you make about such a Sifrei Torah? It was found in the hands of people that don't don't believe in Torah Shebal Peh. So do you say that's Nimtza Biyad Min, and therefore Yiganes, you can't use such a Sefer Torah even if you check it and it's found to be kosher? This Dina de Gemara is that way, but the Svara is that very, very rarely will a Sefer Torah nowadays be written by a reformer conservative scribe and be written properly La Halacha. So if you're able to check that a Sefer Torah was written properly La Halacha, there is like a 99.9% chance that it was written by a firm person, and therefore it's likely that it does not have to go in Geniza. Unfortunately, most of the time when they have such Sefer Torah, they're in terrible shape and they're not, they either were never kosher or are no longer kosher. But anyway, Nimtza Biyadav Chavim, Sa'amri La Yiganes, Va'amri La Korinbo. If you just find the Sefer Torah by an Ovid Chavim, but you don't know who wrote it, so some say you put it in Geniza, others say you could read from it because it's a Svek Sveka. Maybe a Jew wrote it, and even if the guy wrote it, maybe he wrote it to sell it to Yehudi and not for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Sefer Torah Shekseva V'Chavim Tani Chadi Yisarif V'Tani Idach Yiganes V'Tani Idach Korinbo. We actually have three brises about what to do with the Sefer Torah that was written by a guy. One brisa says burn it, another brisa says put it in Geniza, a third brisa says use it. So lo kasha, and it's not a stira at all. We can explain all three. Had the Tani Yisareif Rabbi Eliezer, he, the one that says that your burner is gone like Rabbi Eliezer, the Amar who says that even a shechita of a Jew done on behalf of a guy is possible, because Stam Machshava Zavod Chavim Avod Chavim, that we assume the Machshava of an Avod Chavim is for the sake of Avodah Zarah. So with the Machshava of the guy, while the Jew is shechting an animal for him, is going to be for Avodah Zarah, it's going to make it Asubana. And the same is true when it comes to Ksiva Sefer Torah, that the stam machshav of a guy is l'shem of a dezara, so it's also bad. Now you got to burn it. V'had detani yiganes, the brisa that says that you put the Torah in Geniza, hi Tana, who is going like the following Tana. Detani Rav Amnuna, b'reid Rav mi pishronia, name of a place, sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzos, sheksavad min, umasar, ovid chavim, ve'eved, ishav, katan, v'kuti, v'yisrael, mumar, sefer Torah that's written by any of these people, including an ovid kochavim, psulin is possible, shenemar, ukshartim, uksaftem, because we have a hekesh between the mitzvah of kshiras tefillin and ksivas tefillin. Kol sheyesh no b'kshira yesh no ksiva, only those who are chayiv in putting on tefillin and kshiras tefillin are chayiv are eligible to write kosher tefillin. Kol sheyesh no b'kshira eino b'ksiva. Someone who cannot, who's not chayiv in kshiras tefillin is not kosher to write tefillin. If they're not kosher to write tefillin, they can't write sifrei Torah mezuzas either. Va'ad detanya Korinbo, and the third brisa that says Korinbo, hi Tana, who's going like the following Tana, Detanya, Lochin Svarman of the Chavim B'chal Makom, Vachu Ksuvim Kilchson, that you could buy Sefer Torah from of the Chavim wherever they are, as long as they're written with all the proper halachas of a Sefer Torah. Maisel B'chav Mechad, Betzidon Sheikosif Svarim, Vihitar, Mshung Gamliel, Likach Mimenu, Mshung Gamliel says, you're allowed to buy Sefer Torah from him. So three different attitudes towards Sefer Torah that you buy from an Ovid Chavim. Ramashim Gamliel, Ibul the Shman, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who allows buying such a Sefer Torah, doesn't he require Ibul Lishma? Ksiva Lishma lo ba'i, but he doesn't require Ksiva Lishma. So you see that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel must require Ibul Lishma. Detanya Tzipun Zahav Oshtola Alehen or Behema Tmei Psulos. That if you cover your tefillin with gold, or you make the bias of the tefillin with non-kosher animal hide, so it's possible. Because the pasuk says that it should be Torah Hashem beficha, so it's got to be min a mutar beficha, from something that's a kosher animal. Or behema tahora ksheros, if you make it out of a kosher animal, it's kosher. V'aval pishul ibdan l'shman, even though you didn't do the tanning of the hide, l'shem kedushas tefillin. From Shulam Liel Omer, afilu or behema tahora psulos ad shiya abdon l'shman, then you need ibud l'shma of the height of a Sefer Torah. So if you need ibud l'shma, for sure you need ksiva l'shma. So why is it that Rosh Hashanah Liel allowed a Sefer Torah that's written by a guy? There's no way it was ksiva l'shma. He even need ibud l'shma. Of course you can need ksiva l'shma. So Rabbi Shmuel, the Gersha Chazar l'suro, that which Rosh Hashanah Liel was allowed such a Sefer Torah is a ger that went back to his Avodah Zarah ways. So it says, well, wait, l'suro kolshke da'av. If he went back to his Avodah Zarah ways, then he's a min. He's a Jewish min. It's even worse. Some Ravashi shechazal l'surah mishum yira. No, they were going to kill him if he didn't go back to his Avodah Zarah ways, and that's why he went back to his Avodah Zarah ways. But you could assume that he did the ksiva l'shma. Tan Rabbanan. So we said when you buy dvarim shebekedusha from a guy, malin b'dmehen, Ad kidei tropic. You can overpay by one tropic, which is a small amount of money, just not by more than that. My tropic, Amrav Sheshes, istira. A tropic is a sela medina, which is half of a dinar. Ahu tayata. There was a female Yishmaelis. Daisa chaitin to tefili lekami da abaye, who brought a sack full of tefillin to abaye. Amrla, so, and she wanted him to buy it from her. So Amrla Abaye said, "You obviously reish betamri. You want? You know, I'll tell you what. Give me each pair of tefillin for one date. I'll give you one date." So Yimali Ziyara, she thought she was going to get thousands of dollars for this. Now she's getting offered one date, one fruit for each. You know, she got shakla shadatinu benara. She threw it in the river. She was so frustrated. So Amrla Abaye lizuni ba. So Abaye says, I probably shouldn't have been mezalzel in the tefillin to such an extent to say that to give such a lowball offer of only one date, because that's what cost us just now this tefillin. Now there is a lot to discuss here that we didn't discuss, particularly when we said kol sheyeshlo b'kshira yeshlo b'ksiva. There is a major discussion in poskim: is that true of all mitzvahs? That any mitzvah that a woman is not chayiv in, that she's unable to make the cheftza shel mitzvah? So Tosus over here has a chiddush from Rabbeinu Tam that a woman is not allowed to bind a lulav or tie tzitzis because she's not chayiv in those mitzvahs, so she can't make the cheftza shel mitzvah. So that's a discussion. Someone just asked me a shayla this week. He wanted to know if his wife can make his tzitzis for him. It's taka dafyomi coincidence. There it is. Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, which we try to be machmir for the chachila, is that that she should not do it. Others understand that no, it's dafka din. Basically, return for the mezuzah. The woman's allowed to make a sukkah. That's a beferish gemara, so maybe tzitzis as well. Okay, well, tomorrow is going to be Shabbos's daf. So I don't know if there's, I don't know if everyone's busy on Shabbos. So maybe I don't know. All right, we'll see. Maybe pay attention to the chat. We'll see if there will be a shir maybe tomorrow afternoon at some point. Not sure yet. And then Shabbos would be Sunday's daf. Not going to do that. Sunday, Bez Hashem, 5:30. Sunday we'll do Monday's daf. Bez Hashem, Sunday.
Yes,
thank you. Have a great Shabbos.
Have a great Shabbos.
Okay. Great Shabbos. Enjoy.
One thing for sure, Jeremy will not be able to be on that afterward. No hassle for close
Shabbos. Morning. No chance of doing it tomorrow morning.
Maybe. Okay, we'll think about it. All right.
Okay. No pressure.
All right, we'll put it on the chat. We'll let you know.
Thank you.
Okay, call to.
Take care. Bye bye.
Thank you, Shabbos.